In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. First, let me apologize. I read the wrong collect. Those of you who are astute picked that up. I had a bulletin from last week in my prayer book. I apologize. Let me give you a little background on Jeremiah's reading first, so you can really understand it, because it is very humorous, but if you understand it. Jeremiah was a prophet for the southern kingdom. There were two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom by this time had been overrun by the Babylonians, and they had been scattered into captivity. But the southern kingdom thought they were the cat's meow, because they were the descendants of David and Solomon, and they had the big temple, and their economy was bustling. But the problem was they had forgotten the covenant that God had made with them, especially the one with Moses and the Ten Commandments, "I will be your God and you will be my people, and these are the rules that you will live by." They'd forgotten all of that. And God had raised up Jeremiah as a prophet to call the people back to him. And Jeremiah was a very young man when God had called him. In fact, in the opening pages of Jeremiah, it says, "Lord, I am such a young man, what am I going to tell them?" And God says, "Don't worry that you're a young man, I will give you the words." So now in this passage, Jeremiah is getting a little whiny. He says, "Know that on your account I suffer insult. Your words were found and I ate them. Your words became to me a joy and a delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. I did not sit in the company of merrymakers. I did not rejoice. Under the weight of your hand I sat alone, for you filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Truly you are to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail." Oh, me, my, he says. Expecting God to say, "Oh, there, Jeremiah, it's going to be okay. You know, I'm so sorry I failed you." But no, God says, "Listen, buddy. If you turn back," in other words, "if you knock this stuff off, you shall stand before me. I will take you back. If you knock off the whining, if you stand up like a man, I will take you back. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall serve as my mouth. It is they, the people of the kingdom, who are sinning that will turn to you, not you to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless." Jeremiah is whiny and expects to get this soft pedal response from God, but no, what he gets is a slap in the face and, "Wake up, do your job, shut up and quit whining." It's kind of humorous when you get into it and you understand that. But without that understanding, I don't think you would pick that up, so I wanted to share that with you. Now, on to the gospel. You remember last week's gospel, where Peter made this absolutely stunning confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven, and you are the rock, and I will build my church on you," and so forth and so on. So Peter is just flying high and doing great. And then this week, Jesus continues to explain to him exactly what it is to be the Son of God and the Messiah. But Peter, thinking in earthly terms, steps in it and says, "Oh no, Lord, not you. This can't happen to you." And gets the most stinging rebuke I can ever imagine hearing from the words of our Lord's lips, "Get behind me, Satan." Can you imagine how much that stung? "Get behind me, Satan." And he goes on to say that those who would follow me must take up their cross and follow me. And that Peter was setting his mind on earthly things and not heavenly things. Pick up your cross and follow me. You ever heard people talk about, "Oh, she's just the cross that I bear," or "It's the cross that I bear"? They kind of make light of it. You know what I'm talking about? Well, to do that is really an injustice, because that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about the little things in life like that. What he's talking about is really being inconvenienced for his sake. We all have choices in this life. A choice to serve God, or a choice to basically serve ourselves or pursue our own goals. And in this parish, I'm sure, and in every organization and in every place, you're going to run into people. People that my grandmother used to term as needing a little bit extra of God's love. You know, those people that just get under your skin, that just tweak you the wrong way. You can spend maybe 5 minutes with them and then you're just at your wit's end. You know the people I'm talking about? Of course, we're never those people, right? Not us. Those are the people who really test our faith in a way. Those are the people that we are called to love. Not like love. There's a difference, and I'll explain it in a minute. Jesus calls us to love everybody. And to love someone is to treat them with kindness and forbearance and respect and charity and forgiveness. You may like somebody or you may not like somebody. I don't really think Jesus cares whether or not we like someone. What he cares about is how we act towards them. And the word love in Scripture anyway is a verb. It's how we treat people. And as long as we treat people with love, in other words, if we're charitable, kind, respectful, forgiving, it doesn't matter whether we like them or not. If we like them, it's that much better. It's the same thing in a marriage. Think about it. You may not like your spouse all the time, but God calls you to love them regardless of the fact whether you like them at that particular moment. They may have done something to really peeve you off right now. But nevertheless, you're called to act in a loving way, a kind, forgiving, charitable way. Do you see the difference between liking and loving? God calls us to love everybody, not like everybody. So now let's get back to that person that really gets under our skin. God calls us to love that person. In other words, to treat them with kindness and with respect, and with forgiveness, and tolerance, and patience. Not really tell them what we think. And if we do, for instance, somebody who does something evil or wicked or nasty to us, if we repay tit for tat, is that going to change that person? No. But if, in the other time, if we respond with love, if we treat that person with kindness and tolerance and respect and forgiveness, we just might have a chance at changing that person's behavior, believe it or not. Because maybe nobody's ever done that for them before. Maybe they've never experienced Christian love before. That's what it is to deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow Jesus. To be inconvenienced for his sake. And it's in doing that that we find a true sense of peace, a true sense of calm at our center, a true sense of fulfillment in life. It's not chasing the bigger salary, the bigger car, the bigger mortgage, the better job, the bigger boat. That's hollow. Because once we get it, we're only going to want more. You ask a wealthy person, how much is enough? They never have enough. It's always got to be more. Another 10 million, another 20 million, then I'll be happy. Then they get there, well, it's got to be more. I bet you if you ask Malcolm Glazer, has he got enough money? He'd tell you no. Glazer. My point is, those things are not designed to give us a sense of peace and tolerance, a peace and wholeness and quietness and wholeness in our center. We have a God-sized hole in our hearts. The only thing that fills that is God. And the way we fill that hole is by serving Him, by being inconvenienced for His sake, by being tolerant and loving and kind, even to people that we don't like. We are called to love them. So we all have a choice in this life. Who are we going to serve? Are we going to serve God? Or are we going to chase worldly goods? The choice is ultimately ours.